Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, this is Juliana McIntosh.
And I'm Brad Sutton.
And this is
the Art of Drinking.
With Join Jules.
And your favorite uncle. This is the best home bartending podcast,
where you learn how to make two drinks,
a classic,
and a twist,
plus a little backstory on the cocktail.
So you have an interesting story to tell when you serve your guests
your home crafted masterpiece.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Jules, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How's Dry January treating you?
It is going. It's going forward to the end. We are almost there. We are like a week away.
I got to tell you, I give you a lot of credit that you have made it this far, although this is coming out near Valentine's Day. We like to record in advance, and you are sticking with. I admire your resolve that you didn't break.
It's not more so like, I'm doing Dry January. I'm so much better. It's more so like, no, I can do this. This is like a mind game for me. Like I said, I was going to do something, putting my mind to it. I'm doing it. I'm committed.
That's awesome. I would say to myself, I think I'm going to do Dry January. And then I would follow it up with a sip of alcohol.
I know. This is probably the only year I'm actually going to do that. So had to try it once. You know, I'll try anything.
I bet you're feeling good, right? And maybe you inspire me to try it next year. Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Maybe a week.
Maybe a week.
Maybe Dry Jan week.
Maybe what we do is we dedicate January to alternative drinks. I will still do my alcohol-based cocktails, but you start Dry January maybe in like December. Oh my God, that'd be a terrible idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So that won't work.
Yeah, no.
But regardless, I will say, even though I'm still doing it, first and foremost, Brad, this cocktail recipe is so delicious. I'm so excited you're going to teach people this one, especially because I think Clover Club is such a popular cocktail. I think this is so similar.
This is the Pink Lady. It's not the Clover
Club. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like one of those where people are going to be like, well, wait, I love the Clover Club. I have to try this one.
Yeah, they say it's a cousin of the Clover Club, actually. See, and it kind of really closely resembles the cousin. Although this cocktail I'm using a more contemporary recipe from one of my many cocktail books behind me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a drink that it comes from the golden era of cocktails. It almost disappeared into obscurity because we being men were threatened by the fact that it was a pink drink.
Right.
But there was a time where pink was cool. Mm-hmm. And thank God for the cocktail revolution, because we rediscovered all these forgotten cocktails and it's back. And no man or woman should ever be ashamed to order this lovely, lovely drink. And let me tell you, this is not for the faint of heart. It's tart. It's not overly tart, but it's like that nice balance of tartness. It's, of course, pink. You're using two types of spirits in here, gin and applejack. So, or in this case, Laird's apple brandy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. This is a spirit-forward drink that actually drinks so well. It's so easy to drink.
Well, and I like that you're doing the classic, because this is one where I'm doing a riff, but I'm using exactly what Brad is using. So I'm taking his recipe and I'm just turning it into a gin fizz with soda water.
Yeah, nice job.
And it just elongates an already delicious cocktail. And what's fun about this, because it is still January when we're recording this, I made it so I could sip along and I used alcohol alternatives. So I used a gin alternative spirit. And then instead of applejack, I actually used homemade apple cider. Get those same flavors in there. And let me tell you, both are fantastic. You will have both options. So now you have like three recipes you can choose from. All are great. And honestly, I can't wait to drink your recipe, Brad, from Death & Co. in February. I actually think I will make these for Valentine's Day.
There you go. Sure. I would love it. Yeah. And then tag me. Be like, oh, hey, Uncle Brad did it.
Yeah.
I'm back on the wagon. Off the wagon.
Look at me. Yeah. Look at us. We're coming up on that soon. But yeah, two really great recipes today. Brad, you have a good history lesson where it's almost like you decide which one it came from, which we love those. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then one of the main ingredients in both of our cocktails is grenadine. So our tip of the day today is going to be how to make homemade grenadine, because if you can avoid buying it at the store, you should.
Oh my God. Just don't buy. You guys, don't buy simple syrup. Don't buy grenadine. Just, you don't have to do that. I guess you can buy simple syrup if you're like in a pinch, but like honestly, the homemade grenadine is just... Jesus, don't have to do that.
Well, because the stuff you buy at the store isn't real grenadine.
The homemade stuff is just, it tastes better. Just do it. All right. Yeah. Sorry. Get off my horse.
Yeah.
Geez. Hi, horse. I'm thirsty. And apparently I'm getting cranky. So let's get the drink going.
Geez, you need a cocktail. Let's make you a pink lady.
I need a cocktail. You need a cocktail. Here we go.
All right, Brad, the pink lady. I'm excited to walk through this with you, given that I don't think I've ever had this cocktail before. Can't believe it.
Yeah, it's an old one, but a good one. Of course, the cocktail revolution brought it back from the forgotten pages of time. And I personally love this drink because it incorporates some of my favorite things, and that is gin and Laird's apple brandy.
Oh, yeah. This is so up your alley. Come on.
Yeah. Bottled in bond here. Oof. You can get away with Applejack, by the way, too. But I do like the Laird's bottle in bond because it's just a little stronger and has a little more kick. And after all, when I drink a cocktail, I like to taste the kick too.
Yeah, it just gives you a tighter hug. That's all, you know?
Yeah, a little bit of a tighter hug. All right. Shall we make the drink? Let's make the drink.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm sipping vicariously through you. I wish I could have this with you right now.
Just another week in a chunk here, Jules, and you can start drinking. Yeah. By the time this comes out, you'll be drinking. And so the Pink Lady is here for Valentine's Day, your Valentine's Day pleasure.
Yes.
All right. So I have got my Plymouth gin. I have got my Laird's apple brandy bottled in bond. I have got egg white here. And I've got lemon juice, honey syrup, and grenadine.
Nice. Yeah.
Homemade grenadine, of course. You wouldn't need to use the store-bought stuff. So I'm going to start with my egg white, even though I don't have any risk of getting egg yolk in the egg white this time. I'm still putting it in. So egg white goes in, because you always want the egg white to go in first, because if you put it in last and egg yolk gets in there, then you got to start all over. Okay? Yep,
exactly.
Then I'm going to take 1.5 ounces of Plymouth gin. Mm. And what I love about this recipe is, one, it comes from Death & Company. And two, they're very specific about what to use.
Yeah.
I'm going to use 1/2 ounce of Laird's apple brandy bottled in bond. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I've got 3/4 ounce lemon juice. And I've got 3/4 ounce of honey syrup. Now, they say to do acacia honey syrup. I didn't have any acacia honey. I couldn't get acacia here in time. All it is it's a light honey syrup. So it's a lighter syrup. I used the syrup I had, which was also kind of a wildflower lighter syrup. Acacia is going to have a specific flavor to it. I've had this drink several times. It's so good with the honey syrup I've got going. So don't worry about it if you don't have the acacia, but order it and it shows up. You can make honey syrup with it. Okay. Yeah. So I've got that in there. And then I need 1/4 ounce of grenadine. So that's 1/4 ounce. Now I'm going to dry shake it. Yep. And you'll hear the music here. Second, as I dry shake. 30 seconds later.
It's a good excuse to skip the gym. Make one of these instead, you know?
Oh, man. No kidding. So that was 30 seconds of dry shaking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can shake it again. Get my ice going here. Bada-bing. 20 seconds. 20 seconds later.
Oh,
I'm pouring it
in
my double rocks glass over clear ice.
Because and are you supposed to traditionally pour it over ice?
No, you'd normally use a coupe glass, but Death & Company didn't. I love this recipe. And I'm going to garnish with 3 brandy cherries. Yeah.
I mean, I know some people like the ice when it mellows, like with a whiskey sour sometimes or an amaretto. Oh, God, is that good?
God, that's good. Oh, my God, Jules.
Oh, I just wish I could hang out with you and sip those.
Yeah, it's good. And it's nice and creamy.
I bet.
The dry shake worked. I actually did mess with something called a Sachs shake, which is a shake that was invented by a soda jerk, which is why you wouldn't see it in many bartending manuals.
Yeah.
And it's like one chestnut-sized cube to be shaken with your contents. That includes egg white.
Huh.
And it's supposed to deliver a really creamy texture.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to do anything with it because the ice perfectly melts.
Will have melted.
Dilutes the drink. I did that. I didn't feel like it beat the dry shake. The dry shake still is the best, creamiest egg white.
And I like, too, a good tip for dry shaking. I'm not doing it today because I'm not in my studio, but I like to do a big handful of just regular sized ice. And then I like to put in a slightly bigger cube. And it just helps with the aeration while you're shaking. So it gives you an even better 100%. Froth.
Yeah. Big cubes matter when it comes to shaking. In fact, one big cube, and you don't have to dry shake at all. You just do that one big cube shake. You're probably going to get there. I just
ice big cube,
and clear ice is precious for me right now because it's so cold that I'm able to make clear ice, and I just don't want to use it on any old shake.
Yeah, so, I get it. I get it. Keep that near and dear to your heart. Speaking of egg whites, dry shaking, all the things, my cocktail is a riff off two cocktails. So it's a riff off yours, Brad, but it's also a riff off the gin fizz cocktail.
I like it.
So we're going to have another workout if you want to do both of these cocktails today. I will say, as I'm still participating in Dry January, I did do some non-alcoholic subs for the spirit. But again, please use the regular spirits if and when you can, because it's fantastic both ways. So Brad, are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so we are actually taking almost exactly what Brad did. And I like how specific he was with the ingredients. So go out and buy everything Brad just said to get for his recipe. And you can use the same for this one. What you're going to want to do, I've pre-cracked mine, is take one egg white, put that in your shaker. So 3/4 ounce of fresh squeezed lemon juice. And then we're going to do 1.5 ounces of gin. Again, Plymouth gin would work great here. I actually have this Optimistic Botanicals. It's a non-alcoholic gin alternative, which is actually one of the better ones I've had.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
No, it's good to have alternatives. I embrace you, Dry January people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love it. Yep. Okay, and then what I'm going to do as my apple brandy substitution is I'm adding in 1/2 ounce of apple cider, and cider over juice, because the cider has more of those cinnamon flavors. It's just spiced a little bit better, kind of like the apple brandy, I feel like, has a little bit more flavor. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm using the apple cider, non-alcoholic apple cider, 1/2 ounce, or you would do 1/2 ounce of the apple brandy. Then from here, we add in our syrups. So we are going to do 3/4 ounce of a simple syrup and 1/2 ounce of that grenadine. Before I do all the shaking, what I want to do, I like to do this with fizzes, is I actually add in about 1 ounce of soda water, club soda, to the base of my Collins glass first. Now we're going to dry shake.
30 seconds later.
Okay. Oh, it wasn't 30 seconds because I'm using a new shaker and I hate it. But that was about 20.
Did somebody gift you a new shaker?
Yeah, I hate to throw shade, but it's Pottery Barn's new shaker with Aisha Curry. She came out with a new line.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Is that something you want other people to hear, or is that just for me?
People can know. It's tough. The Boston shakers, I'm sorry. They're either good or they're not. So I wanted to try this one out, and I think it could have some upgrades to it, maybe.
Some improvements. Design improvements. Yeah.
20 seconds later.
Did I hear that changing? Oof. That's a good sign.
Oh, yeah. We're frothy.
Frothy.
Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay, I'm going to double strain.
Kind of come out of the glass like that. Yeah?
This is good. Yeah,
I mean, we got a good mocktail here?
Yeah, good mocktail.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. All right. Add a little gin. And you know, you had the alcohol-free gin. Yeah.
No, I mean, Brad, you have the right ingredients, like exactly what you did, and you fizzed this up. Oh, it's such a good drink. But I have to say, I've tried a lot of the NA. And let me go off here for just 2 minutes. I won't take any more time. But I'm having a tough time with the mocktail Dry January. And I think one of the things is the RTD, the ready-to-drink cans, are so sugary. You're stuck with the flavor. They kind of suck.
Yeah.
But the non-alcoholic spirits, some of them do a really good job at really trying to hone in the flavors. This Optimistic, it uses the same kind of juniper berries and flavors for a gin alternative. It's the best I've found for a gin alternative. That's why I think that this works so well and this cocktail is a mocktail. But it doesn't beat the real thing, and the real thing is really good. But I like the spirit alternatives rather than the ready-to-drink canned stuff.
Okay.
So use what works, right? And for me, it's NA right now.
Yeah, and I can't throw too much shade because I haven't really tasted any of the NA alternatives out there. And that's just, that's not in protest. It's just a matter of
habit.
I don't know what's good and what's not good, but I've heard from people that they're like, oh yeah, this really kind of tastes like Campari, or this really tastes like gin. And others have said, God, this just sucks. And so I guess buyer beware.
It's a toss up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough too when you're buying a big bottle of it too and you don't know, but I can attest, Brad, this is one of the best mocktails I've made that tastes like a cocktail.
That's awesome. And hey, last question. So you've been out there buying the stuff. Is it cheaper than regular alcohol, or is it kind of the same price?
It's kind of the same price.
It's the same price.
It's like, I get it if you're doing like a challenge like Dry January, or if you're just actually sober or pregnant or whatever it is, there are cool options for you. But at the same time, if you're trying to like, just go with the real stuff, really. You're not cutting calories.
Yeah. The pragmatic side of me is like, oh, or just drink a soda.
I know.
Drink the stuff that you...
but this is fun. And this is like... And honestly, Brad, this is like an elevated bougie-ass soda, essentially.
Sweet. Well, I loved Italian sodas when I was a kid, right? Like you go outside the Nordstrom's, they had like the Italian sodas with the syrups and the creams and the... That was pretty cool. So I could see how somebody would get into it. I just...
Okay, but I will say, Brad, I think this one would convert you into being open to mocktails.
Don't get me wrong. I'm open to it. I'm just not going to pay for it.
Totally get that. But this is really good. I'm really, really happy with myself here. So
cool. Well, all right. Let's talk about the history of Pink Lady. And let's kind of get into a little Miss Pink here.
Let's learn about it. I'm ready. The Pink Lady, why is she pink? Where was she pink? And when was she pink?
Well, she's pink because she has grenadine.
Yes.
But actually, the actual recipe for the Pink Lady that isn't the Death and Company's adaptation seems to be a little bit more pink. Yeah, this one's kind of like more of like a pink meets, you know, got a little brown spirit in there. So you've got kind of this almost a cream color to it, but...
Yeah, mine too. Pink. But I will tell you, that's why I added in that hibiscus syrup to mine. That'll really pop it out. So I'm curious how the original one differs.
Hold on. Let me get the Savoy cocktail book.
Oh, nice.
So the Savoy has it as the white of one egg, one tablespoon of grenadine, and a glass of gin.
Wow.
No Applejack present in that version, but Applejack eventually showed up in other recipes.
I'd like to taste test it both ways, but I think that apple just kind of really brings out more of the flavor in this, for sure.
Yeah, it adds an interesting layer to the drink, and it just adds a little more flavor. So, I mean, I've had it without the Applejack. It still tastes great. I mean, it's still like a gin sour with egg white, but Death & Company, they're good for a reason. Because they make
really great cocktails.
They usually
don't miss. Yeah, they usually don't miss.
They don't miss. All right. Let's get into the history behind the Pink Lady. And this actually comes from the golden era of cocktails, which is pre-prohibition, when we were really starting to fall in love with the cocktail and mixing spirits. Yes. And there are two stories to the cocktail. One is short, really lacks substance and evidence, but this woman gets referenced. And the second is a little bit more substantive and a story that I kind of tend to believe. So,
okay.
Here goes. Story one is, again, with little support. There's Elise de Wolf. She is later known as Lady Mendel. She was an actress and she was the first female professional interior decorator.
Okay.
Also, she was in an openly gay relationship back in the early 1900s and also married Sir Charles Mendel. And they say that was just kind of like the marriage was for appearances. And she didn't mind being called Lady Mendel. So as a socialite and somebody with some affluent bank accounts, she threw parties, enjoyed cocktails. She was a celebrity. So naturally, she ended up in a 1920s edition of Vogue. Mm-hmm. And her drink was cited as Lady Mendel's invention. And it was very similar to the Pink Lady recipe I just gave you from the Savoy cocktail book. Mm-hmm. It didn't have Applejack. It did have a lemon and an egg in it as well.
Okay.
And I guess another way of looking at this is it is like a Clover Club with grenadine.
Because Clover Club is raspberry and was also very popular around that same time, right?
Super popular. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So here's story number two. 1911, bartender unknown, but the drink is likely named after a Broadway musical called The Pink Lady. This Broadway musical was super popular. It ran for 312 successive performances on Broadway from March 13th to December.
That's a big deal.
11. Big deal. Yeah. And then it became a hit among regional producers, and they started doing the musical in various Midwest locations. So cultural centers for the Midwest and probably non-cultural centers for the Midwest. It was a popular deal. Well, what was the musical about, right? And instead of reading through it and summarizing, I just went to the New York Public Library.
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
And pulled an article out of their musical of the month, which actually came from March 23rd of 2012. And here's what they say about the musical. I have a feeling they would say it this way. The musical is set in a European village not far from Paris that is threatened and thrilled by a licentious satyr. Now, do you know what licentious means?
No.
No, it's like a promiscuous person. And satyr is not the Jewish Passover dish that my wife likes to torture my Catholic mother with every Easter Passover. She's like, oh, you're really not Jewish. And Amy's like, nah, I really am. And by the way, so are your grandkids. Oh, I love you, Mom. But we do get a kick out of it. Anyways, so a satyr is actually a mythical half man, half horse, or half goat. Although in this case, I'd prefer if you're going to have a promiscuous satyr, I'd rather it be half horse than half goat.
Yeah, same.
And they're associated with fertility. So the satyr, who only wants to kiss and squeeze the town's maidens who wander into the woods. Into this scene comes a bachelor about to be married who wants to have one last fling, followed closely by his fiancée along with her idiot savant cousin and a jealous admirer who both have convinced the woman to track her husband and uncover his philandering. The entire party is soon enmeshed in a tangle of web of lies and misunderstandings and carried off improbably to the home of a curmudgeonly antique dealer in Paris who, encouraged by a chorus of townswomen, discovers his inner satyr and is finally resolved by yet one more deceit practice, this time by the Pink Lady herself.
Wow.
What'd you think of that?
End scene. Great. That was fantastic. If the person didn't sound like that, I would be extremely disappointed. That person had to sound like that. And if they didn't, I give up.
Yeah, no, you could totally, totally see this person like wearing like a string of pearls, dress, high white curly hair, you know, and tight on the sides, but curly on top.
You nailed it. Oh, boy.
Oh, what are we talking about? The drink? Okay.
Well, Brad, at the end of your monologue, which was, by the way, fantastic, it did end with the Pink Lady. So the Pink Lady, what was the relation from this play to now this cocktail?
Oh, well, Jules, I'm so glad you asked. So the drink was, they say, invented to actually promote the musical. Others say it was invented because of the musical. Whichever the case may be.
You can see both, yeah.
No doubt this drink got a lift from the popularity of the show.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
that makes sense.
It created awareness, and we're talking pre-prohibition, golden era cocktails. 1911 is just shot up in popularity. So once Prohibition hit, it became even more popular. And that was because they needed to mask the awful flavor of bathtub gin. So cocktails in general got a shot in the arm. If you were a popular cocktail, you just kept on being popular.
Yeah.
So let's talk about bathtub gin just for a second. Do you know what bathtub gin is? I just kind of feel like we always talk about it, but nobody really knows what it is. Everybody assumes it's gin made in a bathtub, right?
Yeah. I know it's not that. Did you watch the new Saltburn movie, by the way?
No. No.
Okay.
Oh my God. You're like the third or fourth person who said you got to watch this show.
Don't watch it. Please don't watch it. There is a scene with a bathtub. So now every time I hear bathtub, I think about that scene. So I'm like, bathtub gin. I don't want to know, but I do want to know.
I got to watch it.
Yeah, it's too much. Don't quote me. Don't even call me after you see it. I don't want to know that you watched it.
Okay.
For those listening, if you know, you know. Anyway, bathtub gin, not the Saltburn bathtub, but hopefully a different bathtub. So what is it?
All right. Okay. So here's the deal. Bathtub gin, basically it's homemade gin, right? And it's a spirit that's mixed with glycerin and juniper oil. Now, glycerin is something that's mixed in a lot of spirits, actually. And it gives a little sweetness. It adds to the body of the spirit and it mellows out the harsh taste of alcohol. Juniper oil simply is in there to flavor the spirit to taste more like gin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why we made bathtub gin, naturally it was Prohibition. So it was illegal to manufacture, sell, and transport alcohol. And you could consume it, but you couldn't sell it, manufacture it, or transport it. So we weren't going to let that stop us, right? And the mob gets involved and they're like, hey, there's a market here. So they would supply homes with small stills, or they called them Elky coolers. Okay. And they would make small batches of homemade liquor in these kitchens. Now, to make spirit, first you must create something that's a lot like Everclear, and that's like really harsh. And then you've got to cut it down with water, flavor it, and that's what bathtub gin is. And they called it bathtub gin because the bottles that they would fill were often too tall to be filled in the sink. And by the way, Everclear, as you know, is super high ABV. So you put like half the bottle full of alcohol. You top the rest off with water to bring it up to about an 80 proof or maybe a little bit higher.
Sure.
They would fill the bottles the rest of the way up with water from the bathtub.
Right.
That's why it's called bathtub gin. Yep. And if you're wondering, well, why weren't they making whiskey? Because whiskey takes too long to age. Gin is something that cranks. If you ever go to a distillery, a whiskey distillery, chances are, especially if they're like smaller, chances are they are making a aquavit or they're making a gin while they wait for the whiskey to mature in the barrels. Otherwise, you're not making any money for a long time.
Okay. Right. Might as well. Be productive. Don't suck off.
So that's why cocktails really became so popular during Prohibition, not just in Europe where the American cocktail thing continued to take off, but here in the United States because the alcohol tasted like crap. At least the bathtub gin did. All right. So back to the cocktail. Now, at the top, I said that this cocktail was written off due to the threat it posed to the male, the masculinity of man.
Right. Because it was pink.
It was pink, right? But pink didn't always stink for guys, right? So pink was cool. Pink was a masculine color. You know, red's a dominant color. Pale red is pink. And they didn't see that as anything that was less than dominant, right? In fact, you had the Clover Club, which was invented in 1908 in a gentleman's club. Not the gentleman's clubs that you'd see today. The gentleman's clubs were actually guys went and hung out and they talked about business and played games.
Yeah.
Everybody kept their clothes on. We had Jerry Thomas's Knickerbocker Punch, which was pink. And so pink was cool until it wasn't. Now, some stories out there would say, well, there was an article in the 1934 Esquire magazine that deemed the Pink Lady among the 10 worst cocktails of Prohibition. I have a subscription to Esquire and I can go through their archives. I don't see any article that mentions that. I do see an article that mentions the 10 best drinks. And I found a pectorial of 25 cocktails from 1948 that the Clover Club is sitting there. And then the Pink Lady is also there. And then a 1950 article that again lists the Clover Club. So pink was all right.
Who spread these rumors?
I don't know. Maybe the article is out there. I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked and I couldn't find it. So chances are, I think somebody used that story and then a couple of people just ran with it, right? And took it as gospel. So what actually ended up happening was it was the 1950s, and retailers wanted to sell more clothing. And up to that point, baby clothing, diapers, onesies, all that stuff, it was white. It was hand-me-downs. It was all this stuff that you kind of just wash and bleach and wash and bleach, right? You see like babies from like old-timey pictures and they're in these like white garbs that are all puffy, you know, it looks like they throw in water and they'll float. Not that you would ever want to throw a baby in water. Anyways,
that's probably smart. Move on. Yeah.
That was an awkward transition. All right, here we go. So they decided, retailers got together and they said, you know what? Blue is for boys, pink is for girls, because then people had to change over the wardrobe for their little ones and start to buy pink stuff and blue stuff for the baby boys and the baby girls. Suddenly pink was just not that cool anymore for dudes. And that stuck with us. I mean, actually, even today, right, pink is a debated color, right? Like feminists think it's a symbol of patriarchal oppression and others celebrate as a symbol of femininity and then others associate it with gay pride, right?
Right.
And when I do these cocktail classes, I like to oftentimes make, I'll make a Jack Rose or I'll make a Pink Lady or I'll make a Clover Club. And it comes in a coupe glass and I will hand that to a dude. And always somebody is uncomfortable with drinking pink drink. And it shouldn't be that way, right? Like don't let pink be the reason, dudes, you don't drink this cocktail. And for those of you who aren't dudes, I mean, I hopefully, you know, get off put by pink at all because this drink, the Clover Club, Knickerbocker Punch, they're all amazing drinks, even though they're pink.
Yeah, if you're not drinking pink, you stink.
you stink if you don't drink pink. We need a tagline for this podcast because I want to make like stickers and put them out there and like,
don't drink pink, you stink. That sounds like a pretty good one to me.
Pink, don't stink. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jules, that's all I got.
Let's talk about tips. Okay, yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it. All right, Brad, I got a quick tip for you today, and it is homemade grenadine.
Yeah.
I will give you an easy tip first and foremost. If you have or if you're thinking about buying roses grenadine from the store out of a plastic bottle, don't. And if you have it, throw it away. Because that is not real grenadine. And no, grenadine does not come from cherries. It actually comes from pomegranates.
That's right.
So it's very easy to make at home. Essentially, what you're doing is you're really making like a pomegranate syrup. I've seen a couple of different recipes out there. This is the one that I've used. I think it's foolproof. But if you want to do more research, there are some other different ways to do it. But here's the easiest way to do it. You're going to grab your pot like you're making a simple syrup. And you are going to get 2 cups of 100% pomegranate juice. Palm is a great brand that you can go out and buy this. I've done the challenge of actually making fresh pomegranate juice myself. It is a pain. If you want to do it, great. If you don't, go out and buy 100% pomegranate juice. Add that to your pot. Add 2 cups of sugar. I like to use brown sugar here because I think the molasses is really nice. You can do white granulated. You could even do monk fruit. You can do whatever you'd like sugar-wise, just equal parts. So 2 cups. Then you're going to add in about 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice. So you're going to stir that together, medium heat, and then you're going to wait until all the sugar dissolves. So I don't know, I'd say about 2 to 3 minutes. Once it dissolves, you're just going to put it off to the side where you can and let it cool. Once it's at room temperature, you're going to stir in about 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract.
Oh.
Now, I like the vanilla extract. I've seen people add in, there's even like a pomegranate molasses that people will add in. So really, I mean, do your research if you want to get a little experimental with your grenadine. But once you have that vanilla extract mixed in there, you have your grenadine. Now, this will last you about 4 weeks, but Bradley put me on a little tip. If you add in a little bit of vodka or Everclear, about 1 ounce, it can last you up to 6 months, allegedly. Mine's never gotten that far, so I always use it when I have it. So
I thought it was 6 weeks, but 6 months is cool. I've never actually had to go past six weeks.
I know. Wow. I've seen six months online because I was doing my research. I was like, and they do say it can up to 6 months. But again, always check it.
I've never had it that long, so I wouldn't know.
I know. I think I've had it up to 2 months and it was okay. But again, you'll know when it goes bad, right? It's just like your simple syrup. If you see mold growing on the top or if it starts to get cloudy and weird or it's
in the bottle
just
somewhere,
throw it out.
Yeah, you got those strands or waves of mold in there. time to throw it.
Yeah, but that's homemade grenadine. It's so easy. It's literally like so baking easy. A syrup, and it tastes way better.
Cool. Don't well, high five, Jules. No. Good job.
Yeah. Hey, thanks.
All right.
Well, cheers, Brad.
Well, there you have it. Cheers, Uncle Brad.
Cheers, Jules. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the show.
Don't worry, we will have the photos and recipes for today's cocktails on the website, joinjules.com.
And if you got questions or comments for us, hit us up on the Insta at The Art of Drinking Podcast. And of course, find Jules at Join Jules or at Favorite Uncle Brad. That's me, also on the Insta.
And hey, subscribe to my cocktail club on Facebook. All you'll need to do is search Join Jules Cocktail Club, and there you'll see what other cocktail enthusiasts are shaking up.
This is a Red Rock Music podcast.
Don't forget, subscribe, like, and review The Art of Drinking with Join Jules and your favorite uncle wherever you get your podcasts.